Isn't it incredible? Isn't it truly incredible? That God, who created this universe, is interested in you and me. Isn't that an incredible, incredible thing? Are we deluded to think that the God of all creation is interested in us? Are we? This letter that John wrote is a letter that is piercing to the heart. This letter we have read three other letters to three other local churches, and the Lord pierces with his piercing eye, sees right into those real churches at a real time, in a real places. Ephesus was the first letter that we looked at. And God spoke into that place. And I wonder, what did the congregation, what did each individual do with that letter? And then the postman went to the next place. Smyrna. A letter of comfort to those that were in persecution. And then last time, we went up to a tremendous city, a large city that dominated Asia, had library, an amazing city. And now, after Pergamos, we're in Thyatira. Chapter 2, verse 18. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, "These things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your works. Now to you I say, and to the that rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden, but hold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels. As I also have received from my Father, I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Incredible. Incredible. Verse 19. I know your works. In every church we're visited. Jesus reminds us. He knows our works. He knows every single work that you have possibly done. Do people thank you for when you do a work? Do people not notice your work? Do people forget how long you served? Does anybody say, well done? Does anybody know the things that you do? The Lord does. The Lord knows. I know your works. Isn't that a great comfort? He knows. And look, this church is a local set of believers who have covenanted together. I know your works. Love. They love each other. They serve each other. And they have real faith. And they are patient. And you know what? And as for your works, the last are more than the first. This is a growing church. This is a church that you would say, wow, these people love each other. Incredible. What is the problem? What is the problem? Look, verse 18. The Lord's saying all this, but before he tells us these things, says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. These things says the Son of God. Elsewhere in the Revelation, if you just flick back one page to chapter 1, verse 13. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his feet. The Son of Man. We can relate to that, can't we? Jesus is fully human. Jesus, our Saviour, the God-man, knows us. He is fully human. So why does he take the title here, Son of God? Do you treat Jesus like just another person? He's lovely, Jesus. Do you treat him like your best friend? I hope so. Jesus, meek and mild, the comforter, the man who wept. Do you ever think of Jesus as the man who made a whip and cleared out the temple? Do you ever think of Jesus, fully God, in the Old Testament, never changed, fully God, and commanding the armies of Israel to wipe everybody out in certain villages, men, women, and children? Do you ever think of Jesus that way? Or have you thought through who Jesus really is? Fully God. God is holy. God is separate from sinners. Jesus here is not speaking to people outside the church. Think about that. He's speaking to people inside the church. These things say there's a Son of God who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. Can I ask you, not the person next door to you, can I ask you individually, do you know Jesus, the Jesus who died for sin, all your sin, or don't you? Do you know him as your Saviour? Do you know him not just as your Saviour, but as your Lord? Do you know him? Do you know him? My friend, my brothers and sisters, do you know him tonight? Not some event that happened 20 or 30 or 50 years ago, but you know him tonight as your Lord. Do you know him? My friends, my brothers and sisters, he is very God. And he is totally looking for his church to be pure. Do you battle with sin? I know I do. My friend, my brothers and sisters, you will always battle with sin. Always, 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 until you reach home, heaven. Anybody at all comes across your path and says they have defeated sin and they are no more in the battle, but they're walking perfectly without sin. Stand on that foot. Stand on that toe. If your husband's like that, dig him. If your wife's like that, come on. It is a battle. We are in a battle. And the Lord Jesus Christ has come to his church. He's come here tonight. He's speaking to us tonight. He is not just speaking to this church that was nearly 2,000 years ago in Thyatira. He's speaking to us. His feet are like fine brass. Think about this. Fire. Fire. If it's wood, it'll be burnt up. What are your works? Everything in fire burns and melts, doesn't it? His eyes are like burning fire. Think about the sun. Think about those earthquakes. Think about the hotness of rocks breaking up. Fire. The Lord looks for purity in his church. I know your works. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. In Ephesus, there's just one thing. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. Do you take seriously God's word? Not the person next door to you, but do you take seriously? I have a few things against you. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to his church. Think about this. The Lord has sent us a letter. Wouldn't it be terrible to have the Lord say to us personally, I have a few things against you, Paul. I have a few things against you. Wouldn't that be awful? Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. What are they, Lord? What are they? because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants. Compromise is sometimes very good. In the Church of Christ, as I've spoken before, as the Lord has told us before, there is not two lords in the house. If you are Lord of your house, get yourself off that throne. If you think you are Lord of this church, get real. The Lord of the house, the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ, he shares with no other. You are either a slave to sin, wanting to do your own thing, going your own way, or you're a slave to righteousness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Does he reign in you? Does he reign in our church? Look at the order. A woman is speaking. She's leading the church. She's calling herself a prophetess. So many people. Do you know what? I am so frustrated these days. I don't know what the law, maybe it's me. I am so frustrated with people that people come into pulpits and do not take responsibility for their speech, for their actions. Men, if you believe you are called to speak the word of God, it is a frightening thing. You are behaving like a shepherd. And if you read Ezekiel, which I'm going through at the moment, it is a frightening thing to speak under your own authority. It is a frightening thing. And it's a frightening thing not to warn people. The Lord calls people that speak for him to warn people, to warn them of the consequences of sin, to warn them of the judgment to come, to warn them the way they're going. And this lady Jezebel has promoted herself and calling herself a prophetess. And she's teaching. Now, if you know anything in the Bible, we go to 1 Timothy. If you go to 1 Timothy, it says, the apostle says, under the authority of God's word, women are to be silent in the church. Now, come on. That does not mean women don't pray. That's about leadership, authority. Ladies, maybe you struggle with this, and I want to help you out here. Think about the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about him, fully God. Did he come to do his own will? Did he come to do his own will? No, he didn't, did he? He came to do the Father's. He's fully God. And he was willing to submit himself to the Father, being fully God. Ladies, I know it's very hard to submit yourself to your husband. I know that. I think I would struggle submitting myself. I'm thankful for my wife that she submits herself to me. But I can see it's very hard for sinners. But look, God's created an order. And marriage is such a beautiful picture that is given to us, the church. The church is to be the bride. Ladies, you are the picture of Christ's church. Men, man up. Man up. Man up. Men. We
are the picture of Christ. We are to love our wives as Christ loved the church and died for them. We are not to lord it over our wives. We are not to lord it over a woman. We are to serve.
And this lady, Jezebel, it's not a real name, Jezebel. Do you know anybody today called Judas? I know I don't. This is a picture language, Jezebel. Nobody calls their daughter Jezebel. And that is the last name you will ever think of. This lady Jezebel. I wondered if you know about her. This lady Jezebel, she really ruled the house. She got married to a king called Ahab. And she brought in from inside. We talked about Balaam last time. He was outside wanting to curse the people of God and brought sexual immorality from outside. Jezebel brought sexual immorality from inside Israel. She brought idol worship. This lady Jezebel and this lady in the church has overseen, and people have tolerated it. The church as a whole have thought, it's okay. You know, the Lord understands. You see, today, I meet many people today who say, I'm saved, doesn't matter what I do now. My friend, my brothers and sisters, your works that you do tell you whether you're saved or not. Your works tell the nations whether you're saved or not. Works, faith without works is, Book of James, faith without works is dead. Dead. We see a person's faith by their outward workings. No outward workings, no inward faith. You are not saved by your works. You are saved by your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ outside of yourself. Your works demonstrate whether you are saved or not. The Lord Jesus Christ has created us for good works in Him. Without Him, we can do nothing. And look up. Let's carry on. My servants to commit. So this is Christians. These are not Christians, my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat sacrifice to idols. Just recently, one of my favorite preachers like to listen to online, a faithful minister who's been preaching, who's been a pastor for over 40 years, caught in sexual sin. Do you put men on pedestals? Do you put preachers on pedestals? Do you put godly men on pedestals? My friends, my brothers and sisters, we're in a battle. And it is so easy for us to fall. And everything is tainted by sexual sin. A man can preach well, he can preach truly, but think about King David. A man after God's own heart. But what comes to mind? I know what comes to my mind. His sin with Bathsheba. His murder of Uriah. Do you think for one moment, David didn't regret that? All his earthly life. That affected everything. That affected his family. That affected the wars that were going front, it has a stain. Sin stain leaves a lasting effect. And we are a church that needs to be constantly repenting. At the start, if we go back to our first letter, if you remember, I gave you 3 steps to remember. Remember the past. Repent. It is a constant, ongoing thing. to repent. The Lord calls us to repent. We haven't arrived yet. If you think you've arrived, you ain't. Get real. We're in a battle. Repent each day. Revive. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't rely on your own understanding and go forward with Him. Look, a long distance runner, when he sees the tape, he runs faster. Some of us are getting older. A lot of us are getting older. Some of us are older than me. I know. When we're running, we're getting closer, possibly, to being in heaven than anybody else. Come on. Don't give me, oh, I'm too old. Don't give me, oh, I can't do this. We can pray and we can go forward together. If the Lord has given you life today, He's given you it for a purpose. You're on planet Earth for a purpose. Come on. Let's be together. Let's unite together. Let's walk together. Now think about this. What does the Lord say? Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am He who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your works. Matthew 18. If you'd like to turn there, we're just going to briefly. This is what happens in Matthew 18. Verse 6. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he was drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of offences, for offences must come, but woe to that man by whom the offences come. If your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life lame or maimed rather than have two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than have two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you, that in heaven the angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save that which is lost. Look, each one of us is setting an example for people that are younger than us. For people that are younger in the faith, for the people in the world. But look at this. Verse 15. Moreover, in the church, this is the first demand that the Lord places on the church. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, what does it say? Two or three witnesses. Two or three witnesses is not the church. Can I say that again? Two or three witnesses is not the local church. It is not a church. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Surely I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again I say to you, that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they may ask, it will be done for you, for them, by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. That verse, me included, has been taken so many times out of context, it's untrue. It is untrue by men that should know better. Two or three is not the church. The local church that God has ordained are people that are gathered around his word and have come into together and come into being baptized and come into the local fellowship. If you are not a member of a local church, you are sinning against the Lord. Look at our covenant. If you're not a member here and you attend here, ask John, our elder, for details of how to be a member, and look at our covenant and what it says. Time's moving on. And I will give to each one of you, quote, now to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden, but hold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessel. As I also have received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Look, but hold fast to what you have till I come. Now, in the church of Thyatira, it seems obvious that the majority of people were going the wrong way. They were going away and they were listening to a lady about sexual immorality. There's a thing. Is anybody in a union? Why do I ask that? Because in Thyatira, to work, where, do you know who came from Thyatira? Lydia, seller of purple cloth. Very wealthy lady if she sold purple. Now, to work in they were called the guilds. They were the unions of the day. There was factories, industry, and to be able to produce purple cloth and such like and other industries, you had to be part of the guilds, part of a union. These unions had a god, an idol. To be part of it, you had to worship that idol. To be part of a guild in a union, so if you were a seller of purple or cloth or anything like that, you had to join this thing called the guilds. And you had to be part of a union. It's like today. Doctors, nurses, they're part of a union. They might be asked, you cannot join this union unless you're willing to commit or do abortions. Why do I say that? Because I'm saying, think about the time, and it might be jumping, think about this time that this letter is written. This letter is written to a real church in a real place where it was an industry place where to work, you had to be part of a union that sacrificed to idols. There was a choice to be made when you'd be converted. Lydia came from Thyatira. Now, some people think Lydia went back with her household and started a church in Thyatira. A church was established in the middle of this industrial city, where idol worship, to work, you had to worship idols. And in that workplace, there was sexual immorality. Rife. Orgies took place. And this is why, in the middle of that, it was easy to come into a church and say, you're saved. It doesn't matter. That's what's spiritual. Doesn't matter what the flesh does. I'm spiritual, I'm saved. It doesn't matter what my body does. So this is a real problem. And today, lots of people think, I'm saved, it doesn't matter how we behave. Nothing could be more further from the truth. It really couldn't. We are the light of the world. We are the light of Orton here. How we behave in the church, how we reach out to others, speaks volumes on who we worship. In closing, what's this about? He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessel. As I also have received from my Father, I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear. Who's the morning star? In Revelation 22, there, at the back of the Bible, it says this, the morning star. Verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angels to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Now, if you look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, that which you do well to heed, as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. It's Jesus in your heart. To be a true Christian, you must be born again of the Spirit of God. In your heart, believer, you have the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are risen from the dead, no more to die. Eternity you have in your heart. Eternity, you have a sinless God in your heart. My friend, my brothers and sisters, let us live to who we truly are. The old person has died. When Christ died on the cross, he died for all your sin. Don't let it have the victory. Don't let it have the victory. And to emphasize that, this is the last bit, Psalm 2, where John quotes from and the Lord quotes from. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds and pieces and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore, be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and trembling, and rejoice. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. Tonight, do you think there is more going on in Parliament than in a prayer meeting? This is the greatest place you could possibly be. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ reigns. There is no government, there is no earthly government that can overrule the Lord's will. My friends, my brothers and sisters, I quoted to you in weeks gone by about John Knox
I quoted to you about a lady who was a queen, who she didn't fear the armies of the world more than she feared John Knox, who prayed. When God's people understand their God and speak to their Lord and Saviour and rest on Him alone, there is no earthly government, no earthly power on earth that can stop God's church moving forward. Do you believe that? Do you believe it? I hope so. Do you believe your prayers will be answered?
Amen.
Your prayers will be answered. This time that we spend now matters so much. We stand. Think about this. Standing in the gap, mediating for the people that do not know the Lord. All around us, every person that we come into contact with, we can pray to our Lord tonight and seek His face, repent of our sins, and put all our hope on Him.